We don't know his name, but we know two things about him. First of all, he had disabilities in both of his ankles where he couldn't put any weight on them or walk. Secondly, his friends carried him every day to the same place so that he could beg for money to support his family and friends. Not the way most of us would want to live in life, invisible to crowds. You know how it is. People walk by and they pretend like they don't see you so they don't have to give you anything. Sometimes people walk on the other side of the road to avoid you. This was his life every day for 40 years. It was a difficult life. It was a hard life. And this was in a time and a place where they didn't have surgeries to fix bones. They didn't have physical therapy centers. They didn't have special schools. They didn't have even jobs that would accommodate his life. In fact, a lot of people believe that his parents must have done something really badly a long time ago for him to deserve this condition from birth. We catch up with this man in Acts chapter 3 in the Bible. As I said, he sat by the temple gates in Jerusalem every day from sunup to sundown. Can you imagine how hard that life would be? It would hurt when people would ignore you. Or at least you'd try to convince yourself that it didn't hurt. Maybe they were busy. Maybe they didn't have any money to give you. I imagine he longed for someone just to notice him. Not to necessarily notice him just to give him what he needed. Not just to notice what's wrong with him, but to notice him as a person. Someone who had dignity and worth. Not to be defined by what's wrong with him. It's funny how you can feel alone even when you're surrounded by crowds of people. But his life was about to be changed forever by the resurrected Christ. And our lives can still be changed by the resurrected Christ as well. If you have a Bible with you, take it out and turn to Acts chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible with you, get a device. Maybe you have an app or you can Google it and find Acts chapter 3 in the Bible. And we can follow along together. We're going to read the first 10 verses and hear the story of what happened to this man. But keep your thumb there because we'll refer back and read a few more verses on after that. So Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man was gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. But it's not what he expected. Peter said to him, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man. Isn't this him, the same guy who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful? And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. That temple gate called Beautiful was never more beautiful than on that day, was it? A miracle had happened in his life. He now could walk. His legs were strengthened instantly, not in a rehab program. Instant healing, instant strength. And he was praising God for his newfound faith in Jesus Christ. But his healing came through two of the disciples, didn't it? Through Peter and John. They were on their way into the temple that day for going to prayer like they would go on any normal day. But these days for the disciples, nothing was normal anymore. They had spent the last 3 years of their life following Jesus Christ in person, front row seat, to getting to see Jesus heal people, sometimes with a word, sometimes with a touch, getting to see Jesus walk on water. How many of you would want to see when Jesus walked on water, Peter himself got out of the boat and got to walk on water too. It was amazing. He did things that were things that only God could do. He taught in a way that only God could teach. The words that he would teach from Scripture resonated down into their hearts. And Jesus had that knack, when you read through the Scriptures, to be able to have a heart of compassion toward those who are broken, while at the same time be able to push back and stand up against those who were in power, who were abusing that power, and whose hearts weren't right with God, refusing. He truly was who he said he was. He was God in the flesh, God who had come to earth. But about a month and a half before this time of this healing, Peter and John and the rest of the disciples saw something happen that they did not expect. Jesus allowed himself to be arrested by the Jewish leaders. He was put on trial and falsely accused in front of the Jewish leaders, and he didn't defend himself. He was brought to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, and he still didn't defend himself. In fact, he seemed at peace when Pilate gave the choice to the crowds of people for one of the prisoners to be released, either Jesus or a man named Barabbas, who was a violent criminal. And the crowds chose Barabbas. It's almost like Jesus was doing this on purpose. They dragged him away. They beat him. They mocked him. They spit on him. And they nailed him to that cross. And he died on the cross, was put in a grave, sealed with Roman authority, guarded by Roman guards. The innocent one had just died for all of the guilty ones in the world. The disciples didn't yet understand it, but that's what had just happened on that Good Friday. He died for the sinners of the world, sinners like the crippled man, sinners like the disciples themselves, even for the worst of sinners in the world, including you and me. Jesus died for all of us. But on that third day, on that Easter morning, Jesus' tomb had rattled and the stone was rolled away by an angel, and Jesus' lifeless body began to breathe. He began to move, and he rose up from his burial place, and he was able to step out of that tomb more alive than ever. And the disciples witnessed a dead man come back to life. They saw him. They talked with him. They ate with him. They touched his nail-scarred hands and feet. And they were there as he appeared to many, many people, and he taught them. And they were there when the resurrected Jesus ascended from the ground up into the clouds and up into heaven. He was truly the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is not dead. He is alive. And the disciples knew it. And the last words of Jesus still resonated in their chests. Go and make disciples of all nations. Ha! Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And you will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to every part of the earth. They had been commissioned with the power of the resurrected Jesus to go and continue his work. So was it any surprise to Peter and John that the Lord did this kind of work that day? Maybe in some small way. But no, they had seen the power of Jesus. They got to see this man. Can you imagine his joy from going 40 years as a beggar to finally being able to get up and jump around and skip around and dance and join in with what everybody else was doing? He had a newfound faith in Jesus Christ. Not only healed ankles, he had a healed soul that day. Can you imagine the joy of Peter and John being able to be used by the Lord to see this miracle happen? The power of Christ is still for them in the power of Christ, let me declare to you, is still for us today. This opens up a whole world of possibilities for us because Jesus is still alive. See, this story isn't just about people who have disabled legs and feet. Some of you are here today. But it's really a story for all of us. See, there's not a person in this room who hasn't felt the same things that that man felt. To feel like there's something wrong with you. To feel like the world passes you by. To feel even alone in a crowd full of people. To feel like there are broken things about you that make others kind of go, I'm not sure I want to get to know that person. Or you might feel, if I let them know those things, they really wouldn't want to know me. We also know the feeling of feeling unworthy in front of God. God wouldn't love someone like me. Every person has experienced that feeling. We are just as crippled as that man by our sin. Our souls need a touch from Jesus, just like that man needs. But because of Jesus' death on the cross, the full payment for sin, because of his resurrection from the dead, which is the receipt stamped that the payment was accepted and that now there is power over death, power over sin, power over Satan, power over disability, power over sickness, that there is power in his name to change lives even yet today. The good news is that we can still encounter him. Look at the rest of the chapter, or the next part of the chapter here in Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 11, because this tells us how we can experience that as well. Starting in verse 11, this is Peter now who's going to be able to talk to this whole crowd of people. It says, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, he didn't want to let go. He wanted to stay with these guys. All the people were astonished and came running to them in a place called Solomon's Colonnade. This was a gathering place just off the side of the temple. When Peter saw this, imagine the courage now to speak to this whole group of people. Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed. He's not mincing words, speaking to this crowd. You disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the Holy and Righteous One, which, by the way, is a title that Jesus is God, the Holy and Righteous One, and asked that a murderer be released to you instead. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you all can see. And I can just imagine, that day as Peter's giving this message, full of this power of the Holy Spirit, having the courage to do this in Jesus' name. As he spoke these words, exhibit A. You don't believe what I'm saying? Look here at this man. He's now healed. There is power in Jesus' name. And I love the things that he says in here. He's talking to them about how they had put Jesus on the cross. You handed him over to be crucified. You put the author of life to death. That title, author of life, other translations may say prince of life. It's the same, different translations from the same word. Think about that. Jesus is the author of life. He's the prince of life. And we declare that today. He created all of us. He created everything that we see. He sustains everything by his powerful word, it says in Colossians chapter 1. He is the author of life. But jarring thought for the day, he was put to death. The stories in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John actually say that Jesus gave up his spirit. John 10 says that he laid down his life. No one can take his life from him. He willingly gave it up. And yet it was the people who put him to death. It was the Roman soldiers who put the spikes through his hands. and hung him on that cross. But folks, we are just as guilty. Our sin put Jesus on that cross. He went willingly, but it was our sin that put him there. 1 Peter 3:8 says this, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous," that's us, "that we might be brought to God." Jesus went there in our place. But he carries on from there, the best part there in verse 15. He says, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, the man who you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." So yes, the author of life died as the sacrifice, but he rose from the dead. You can't keep Jesus in the grave. By definition, God cannot be dead. He cannot stay dead. By definition, God has all the power to do all things. And he made the exact payment that was needed, that the wrath of God for sin was paid for. And he rose again now with the authority to give life to anyone who asks, spiritual life that will live on forever. There is good news in Jesus' name that we can still, by faith in his name, ask and be healed and be saved. Do you need his power in your life today? Maybe you feel as though you're like the crippled beggar who still says, "I need a touch in my own heart, in my own soul. I need to put my faith in Jesus Christ." Maybe you feel unworthy even to be here today. I've known people who say, "Pastor, I could never come to your church because if I walked in the front door, lightning is going to strike me dead and it's going to burn your church down. So I won't be there this Sunday." I have good news for you. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Jesus Christ went for you. He loves you so much that he has done this for you. In history, it's a fact. He died for you and he rose from the dead for you. In fact, Romans 5:8, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, says, "God demonstrates his own love for us in this." You want to know how much he loves you? "While you were still sinners, Christ died for you." That means that even in our worst of days, in our darkest of moments, before you and I ever even breathed a bit of air here, Jesus was already thinking about us. He already went to the cross. He already died for us. That's how much he loves us. He has loved you before you were ever even born. He paid the price for you. It's such good news. That means that to come to Jesus isn't a matter of making up all the bad things that you've done and putting yourself enough good in the good column. That means that coming to Jesus isn't about coming to a church service and checking off that box and going, "Well, I did that one and now I go on with my life." We're actually invited into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He is alive, therefore we get to come to him and have him in our life. You heard that declared today by three people who have been saved and who have given their life to Christ. And he has saved them. What an amazing thing that is available to all of us today, that we can ask in Jesus' name and be saved. We can finally know the God who created us, the God who loves us, the God who has a will for us. And if you long for that in your heart, in a moment, I want to give you an opportunity to respond and for you to be able to ask him to save you. But I want to talk even to other people who might be here today, and you've been to, I was going to say 100 Easter services. I don't think that's possible for you to be here today. Maybe you've been to a long list of them, and you could like compare notes and pull out a card and say, "I've been to this many Easter services. How many have you been to?" It's not about comparing that. Maybe you've been to a lot of Easter services today, but you might have forgotten the power of Jesus' name, because he's resurrected from the dead, that he could use someone like Peter and John. Do Do you remember where they started before they started following Jesus? They were two simple fishermen, pretty rough around the edges. But because they witnessed Jesus' power, because they themselves had been transformed and forgiven and received Christ, because they saw that he rose from the dead, they knew. They were full of confidence and faith that even people like us, he can use to bring his resurrection power to others. Maybe you need to be reminded of that today. I saw an example of that even just a few weeks ago. We were at a conference. Our pastors here from this church gathered with other people, and we were at this conference, and we were in an area by ourselves. We were praying for each other. People were sharing different needs. There was this one man who said, "Hey, will you pray for me? I've got several things on my heart here today, and I need to know that the Lord has this. I need his peace." And so his first language is Spanish. We were praying in English because I speak a little bit of Spanish, but not enough to pray over this man. None of us knew enough Spanish to pray over him. His name's Marcelo. We all got around him. We were praying for him. And it was an amazing time of prayer. We were asking for God to refresh him, to show his love again to him, to fill him for the challenges that were ahead as he was going to head home. We got done praying, and Marcelo looked at us, and he had this kind of look of like surprise in his eyes, and he had tears in his eyes, and he said, "Who was praying in Spanish?" We said, "Marcelo, nobody was praying in Spanish. There was nobody around us. None of us heard anything in Spanish." And it hit him that either God was speaking over him, or there was an angel speaking to him, or one of us who was praying in English, God was translating that into Spanish for him. The power of the resurrected Jesus did that day for him. Amen. Have we forgotten that because Jesus is alive, he can do anything? Now, he chooses to work according to his will, seeing what's best when we ask. He knows what's best for us, but sometimes he does things we don't even expect, and he surprises us. And he does things like that. Jesus is alive. We say this often at our church, that the best thing we got going for us is Jesus. We're just not that smart. We just don't have enough resources. We don't have all of our plans together. The best thing we got going for us is Jesus. The only thing we got going for us is Jesus. And isn't that where we all need to be? I want to give you an opportunity to step toward Jesus in just a response of faith in his name this morning. And I want to invite you into a time of prayer. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure in your own life, you feel like your sin has separated you away from God, and you need this touch this morning. You need his blood to shed on the cross to cover your sins and wash you clean. Maybe you've had even that thought of, "I wish I had the faith like these people to come and be baptized this morning." Right now, in your heart, he can hear the cry of your heart. He's that powerful. You don't need to say it out loud. You can say it in your heart. Here's what I invite you to pray. If you need Jesus to save you and wash you of your sin, you can follow along with me. "Jesus, I believe there is power in your name. You died on the cross for me. You rose from the dead to have victory over my sin. In your name, I ask that you forgive me, a sinner. And I ask that you give me new life, that I might walk with you now and be changed. I declare today that you are my Lord and my Savior." As you're with the Lord right now, and if you've just prayed that, just receive him. It's a gift. Just in your heart of hearts, just know he's coming. He's there. He's with you. He's answered your prayer. This is a prayer he will always answer. have Jesus. That's all you need. If you've done that today, I want to encourage you to take a step of faith even now and to declare that here in this room. If you've received Jesus, say, if you prayed that prayer, I invite you right now, just raise your hand, put it up here in the room. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Many people, several people here in the room today. Jesus, I pray for them that you will strengthen them. I pray that they will know Jesus died for me. He's my only hope. I pray that this Easter would be a special day, remembering this April 9th, 2023 is a day that I put my faith in Jesus. He's all I got. He's the only thing I've got. He's the best thing I've got going for me. Anyone else here in the room today too, that if you're just, you're here and you're going, I need Jesus' strength in my life. I need his power for, maybe for healing, something in your body. Maybe you need him because you have a decision coming up and you need guidance. Maybe you need material provision, something that you're lacking in your life. Maybe you have a burden for someone in your heart that you're just going, I want the Lord to heal this or work in that person's life. And just take a moment and ask him with renewed faith. Jesus can do anything. Ask him. This is for everybody. Take a moment and cry out to him in the power of his name. If you're longing for God to use you more in the lives of other people like Peter and John, to have that kind of faith, I want to invite you to pray along in your heart with me. Jesus, I believe you are victorious over all the brokenness of the world. Please lead me in fresh faith this week to minister to people in your name. Whatever you prompt me to do for someone, I will do. Whether to pray for them, whether to serve them, whether to speak about you to them, give me the faith to obey and believe in your power. And maybe he'll tell you something even right now he wants to prompt you to do. So stop and listen. He can speak right to your heart. Jesus, thank you that we have direct access to you because of the shed blood that you had on the cross. And thank you that we can speak to you now too because you are alive and you are standing in the gap for us. We have 24/7 constant uninterrupted access to you, and you've given us authority and power in your name to minister to this world. May we go with refreshed and renewed strength in that. Thank you for speaking to us through your word. And now, Lord, as we just sing a closing song, would you receive the glory that's due to your name? That the story that we're going to sing of the from your birth to the cross to the resurrection, as we say, praise the name of the Lord our God. May you receive all the glory. In Jesus' name.